Continuing in John, the Gospel of John, we stopped at verse 8, where Jesus just said to Nicodemus that this new birth, this being born from above, is done by the Spirit. It's a new type. It's of another realm. And he used the Spirit, the illustration, as a comparison, almost a parable, that it was like the wind. Even though it is unseen, we see the effects that it has on things. And he was saying this is how the spiritual birth is. It will affect people. It will change them. And many times we don't immediately see or examine it closely, but we see the effects of the change. With the Christian, it's the commitment to Jesus Christ. It's the conformity to the Word of God. It's the transforming of the mind to follow the things of God. So he was giving him a comparison that he could understand. And it's interesting, as we go on, we'll see that for some reason Nicodemus did not catch it. And verse 9, he says in answer to him, "How can these things be?" You know, and actually Jesus gave him a very good illustration. It wasn't no complicated parable. And so, again, his question here is sort of inappropriate. And the reason being, we're going to see, he was not an ignorant person. Something was wrong with his heart. Something was not receptive. And we're going to see, again, the principle of God working, that you're going to see that intellectual knowledge and mental assent of Scripture really does not do too much until the Spirit is acting and moving. So Christianity is not an intellectual thing in itself. I like to say it's 5%. You know, you have to be told something. The words, you have to be given for the Holy Spirit to act and to move. First the natural, then the spiritual. We have to be made aware we're sinners and need a Savior before we're going to pursue a Savior. So we do have to be told things. But it appears that God does look at the heart of people and deals accordingly. We'll see. That it seems like sometimes the most brilliant people miss things when it comes to spiritual things. And sometimes the most simplest people get it. So that alone proves it's a spiritual thing. It has no... basically, God is bypassing the mind and the intellect, which helps us, shows us you don't have to be brilliant to know God. You have to be receptive to know God, you know. So, again, it doesn't matter. And, again, the gospel, as we see in whole, was to be preached to the poor, to the lowly, to the common man. That was the emphasis. And Paul tells us not many of the wise and intelligent are called, are saved. Not many of the mighty and the famous. Not many of the rich. And he tells us why. Again, they have to come down further and give up more sometimes. In many cases, for them to come to God, it's a costly thing. And they're not willing sometimes to pay that price. But he says how. He's asking him again. It's as if Jesus had told him the best explanation of how this spiritual birth was going to happen, and he's still saying how. In a sense, he's almost saying, show us a sign. You see, the Pharisees did this, and he is, in a sense, a Pharisee. We're going to see what Jesus addresses him. And Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" This man evidently was on a near standing with the Gamaliel and the high priest. He was just probably not a normal Sanhedrin member. He could have been. But evidently for Jesus to say a teacher of Israel, implying you have a reputation for being an instructor. You're a scribe or an instructor and a teacher, and you don't understand the simplest things I'm telling you. Why don't you understand? What's wrong is the implication. Something, you know, is wrong here. And he says to him, truly I say to you, we speak. Let me back up a minute. I want to pause for a minute. I'm thinking, before we go on, a lot of people give Nicodemus more credit. I don't. but again, it's a matter of opinion here. I see no response from Jesus that commends Nicodemus as even being a serious seeker. Jesus' response is wonderful, and some of the most poignant scripture about God so loving the world is the answer to him. But we're going to see from Jesus dealing with Nicodemus, you're not going to be impressed with him spiritually. There is no change taking place. This man is an intellectual, but he is not grasping something. It reminds me later on when Jesus reproves and rebukes the Pharisees, and he calls them blind leaders of the blind. In this case, Jesus is almost implying this. You're a teacher of Israel. You're supposed to be an instructor, and you cannot see the simplest thing that I've given you. Something has blocked you from perceiving this. You know, what has blocked you from receiving this? Well, let's go on. Truly I say unto you, we speak of what we know. Who's the we here? The disciples and me. The disciples that I'm calling and teaching. And he could imply, but probably not, but it is applicable, John the Baptist coming as the forerunner and preparing the way. He's saying, you know, we know what we're speaking of, implying you're a teacher of Israel and you don't even know the things, the simplest things you ought to know. Remember, these are the same people that Jesus said laid aside the word of God for their traditions, you know, that took much, and he reproved them. This is a teacher, you know, this is well known. If he's so respectable by the Sanhedrin, his reputation is in question by God, because Jesus reproved most of them as being hypocrites, blind leaders, and fools. If he was so in tune to God, why wasn't he instructing them? Why couldn't he see and perceive what Jesus was saying? And it wasn't just what Jesus was saying. Remember, Nicodemus came to him at night. I look at it in a sneaky way. Why didn't he come in the daytime? He was worried about his pride, his reputation. See, something was wrong with his heart. He wasn't hungry in the right place. He may have come to get information. He may have wanted some knowledge. A lot of people do. But God considers that irrelevant. He goes right to the point of the heart. Was he seeking to improve his spiritual lot? Was he trying to really figure out what is going on? Or was he just wanting information? Was he, wanted to be sneaky about this, and he wasn't bold? Something was deceitful, in a sense, about this. Why did he come in this hidden way? You know, other Pharisees confronted Jesus and actually reproved him at times, you know, and debated with him. And it, again, makes me wonder, about his heart. But he says, we know and testify of what we have seen. Again, the word here, what we have perceived and what has been given to us. You know, we know the message and what we are coming to preach. And you do not accept our testimony. Here, the you may not be speaking to Nicodemus alone, but it may be implying the general religious system from the beginning was rejecting Jesus. You know, so he may have been speaking, yet including Nicodemus here. But the next verse, definitely he's talking to Nicodemus. He said, verse 11, when he says, we know and you do not receive or accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe. Now he's talking to him. I've just told you an earthly concept in comparison. I've used the simplest illustration. And yet you have not believed. What have you not believed? How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? How can I take you any further? How can I give you spiritual things when you've not comprehended the natural, the simplest thing? But again, it's not your intellect is the problem. You're a learned person. You're an intelligent person. You know, so the only thing I can think of, you know, and again, I wonder, Matthew 11, you can hold your place or go with me, whether he most likely, I think he's included in this group, Matthew 11. Look at verse I'm doing good. Like I did last week, I'm writing the wrong scriptures down. Bear with me a minute. Matthew 13, verse 19. He's talking about the parable of the soul, explaining part of it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. I think Nicodemus in this group, remember when he comes to ask him questions, he's already heard the message. That's why he's coming to ask for clarity. He's coming to dispute it or challenge it, or he wants to know something. But again, he's what? He knows what the message Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He knows what John the Baptist has said. This is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. But something in Nicodemus' heart is not right. He is coming as the Pharisees and as many of the scribes. They're coming with the wrong motive. And these people, Jesus began to teach parables and began to conceal the truth from them, because their heart was wicked and they were not seeking the truth for the right reason. They wanted information. They wanted knowledge. But again, their motive and intent was wrong. And often God, again, hides himself. And often these are intellectual people. They want to examine God. They want him to come down and prove this and do this. And God is showing us that that is not his way. You know, if you're going to be born into a spiritual realm, you're going to come into it in a different way. It's not going to be the normal way. It's going to be God's way. And this is what often people miss. You know, it is a simple way when the Holy Spirit enlightens a person. Otherwise, it's complicated. They cannot see it. It's so simple. And like Jesus said, and with him, they stumble over the stumbling block. You know, it's not that God purposely makes it complicated. It means he has terms that they must come, and they're his terms. See, salvation and its terms are on God's terms. They're not man's terms. God is offering man's grace on his terms. He's offering the sinner something on his terms. He does not let the sinner dictate the terms. He is in no position to dictate the terms. So again, we're seeing that he may have been in this position, but go back. I was thinking, notice how intellectual he was and how brilliant he was, yet he could not comprehend this simple thing. Something was hidden from him. If the enemy had stolen what was put in him because his heart was not right, as many people, when they get the gospel presented to them, it's immediately taken. They have no serious intent to inquire. They think, well, that's interesting, and they don't really begin to pursue it, and God allows the devil to steal it from them. The word that was sown, because it wasn't responded to properly, shows you accountability again to the light and information you're given. And it shows you also that when people accept and reject things that God gives them, they will either be given more because they accept it, he'll show them a further truth, or what they were given will be taken from them, and they will be hardened further in the opposite direction. So that is one of the spiritual lessons. Get how brilliant he is. Notice what Jesus said to him. The most simplest person basically could have understood the comparison he was using, and he was saying, how can these things be? I don't think he was speaking with cynicism, but he was speaking that he was blinded. He could not see this. And in a sense, Jesus was astounded. But last week we found out what? Going back to verse 1, Nathanael was entirely different. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 47. It's worth reading these scriptures. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile or no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Jesus answered and said to him, and Nathanael answered him and said, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And notice Jesus' response, again astounded a different way. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And notice here, this is going to come up later. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Notice the two people, entirely different. What was Nicodemus? He did not believe. And Jesus said, "You do not receive our testimony and you do not believe." And I've given you the simplest and the clearest illustration, and something in your heart has blocked you. It's darkness. But with Nathanael, Jesus said the simplest thing to him and simply said, "I saw you under a fig tree." But see, Jesus already gives us the key. And he wasn't astounded. He was astounded that other people would see how readily and how acceptably Nathanael was not a gullible person. You know, his response shows us, in a sense, he was cynical. He said, remember, he said, "Could anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, he wasn't a gullible person. But see, the key was, Jesus said, "A man on whom there is no deceit." He did not say this about Nicodemus. What was he saying? He was saying, when the seed was sown to you, you know, because your heart was right, the simplest thing that you were told, you were able to see it. And because you believed, the simplest amount of light that I gave you, you see, a prophet could have told him that. Another, that was no ground to believe, really, that Jesus was the Son of God. But the Spirit was already working with him. Why? Because his heart had no guile in these matters. He was open. He was teachable. He wanted to know, you know. And the Holy Spirit gave him the simplest truth. Jesus said, "I saw you." And he said, "I believe you're the teacher. You're the Son of God." The Holy Spirit was acting and opening his understanding, and he saw something. And what was Jesus' response to him? "Because you have believed the simplest amount of light, you shall see greater things. You shall be given more." He did not say this to Nicodemus. He did not say that to him. And actually later we're going to find out he said to the Jews and people, "Even what you have will be taken from you. Because you did not respond properly to the light I gave you, even that light will be turned to darkness." Take heed, Jesus told the Jews. He says, take heed that you walk while you have the light. He said, "For the time coming, the light will be taken and you will walk in darkness." He was saying, while the light's here, you better receive it and respond properly, because once it leaves, darkness will replace it. You will not be the same. Hardness will come in. So again, I can see the principle here, again, is working. Nathanael is open. He's receptive. And that's how, and why was he that way? We don't know. Maybe it's because he listened to some of the preaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was told what? Go and prepare the way. He's preached repentance and told people, get right, the Lord's coming. And these people started listening, some of them. And that's why his disciples could readily receive Jesus, when many Pharisees couldn't. They listened to the simplest message that John gave them. He opened their understanding, but many of the others could not get it. So again, you see, it's not how brilliant you are. Are you receptive to the light when God gives it? That is it. And see, the wicked and the Pharisee says what? Often, and the heart, give me a sign, give me a sign. And Jesus is still saying, no sign shall be given. Go back to the children of Israel. They were given 10 wonderful signs, and they were unbelievers and disobedient and lost. Because what happens when a person's heart is not receptive and not right to the things of God, if God gives them a sign, it won't be long, they'll look for another sign. They'll have to keep being given signs because something's wrong with their heart. They've not been enlightened. There's no change. And then the next day, it's as if they weren't given. Well, show us again and show us. See, this is why he says, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh for a sign, and no sign will be given. See, he doesn't answer that way. The Spirit moves how? Inwardly, his way. Quietly as the wind, and affects people. He changes them within. He's not interested in changing them by giving them information or simply knowledge. He wants to change the mind and the heart, not just to give information. Remember, that was what happened to Adam and Eve. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They got knowledge, but they got the wrong kind of knowledge. It did not change their heart. It perverted their heart because the knowledge was sought by disobedience. See? And man is still seeking the wrong way. And by the wisdom of man, God said through Paul, they shall not find me. They shall seek me and not find me. They shall run hither and thither and to and fro, and they shall never understand. Why? Because they're going to come on my terms. When I give the light, that's my grace and my extension. They must respond. They can't come on their own, and they can't choose the time and the methodology. I do it. I am the one who offers. And this is what they have to learn. Nicodemus at this time did not learn this. Let's go on. He changes thought here, but before he does, he says, I've told you earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now go to Matthew. There's my Matthew 11. And we see this with Nathaniel. We see this with Nicodemus, exactly opposite response. Matthew 11, verse 25 and 26. At a similar time, Jesus said, I thank thee, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to the simple or to the infants. We have the perfect case. Nicodemus, it was hidden from him. Not because God did not seek. God gave him enough. If his heart had been properly attuned. It was something wrong with Nicodemus's heart. It was nothing wrong with the Word of God. See, the Word was sung, and it fell on the wayside, on the hearts of many people. But God's intention was what? That it produced something. But it wasn't. The Word was taken from them. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. What is God, Jesus saying? That this is God's way, and this is the way he has sought to pursue man. Under the simplest way, but it's a spiritual way. Again, he's answering Nicodemus, and Nicodemus can't see it. See, his heart is not right. He's saying, you don't understand. The very spirit that I'm telling you is like the wind would affect you and change you if your heart was ready. But your heart's not ready, so what will it do? It will do nothing for you but generate more carnal questions, more information that you're not going to get until you can grasp the simplest thing. And see, many could not believe and could not see, again, because they were the wayside hearts. They were looking for information, but they really weren't looking for truth. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that want religion. And a lot of people want to talk religion, but there's very few who are pursuing the truth and can honestly say, and I've counseled thousands in years, and I've met few that can say, I want the truth even if I don't like it. I want the truth if it's God's word. You'll find most people, they want the truth on their terms, or they don't want to hear the truth and it don't suit them. They want to bypass all of this. Just tell me what I want to hear. Tell me the good things. They are sort of like Ahab, you know. Micaiah, I hate him because he always prophesies evil messages for me. Well, he was a wicked king. What else could he expect it from a true prophet of God? He had 400 prophets of Jezebel to lie to him. And he wanted to believe the lies, didn't he? And he rejected the message until he was killed for rejecting it. After he was told, in that same instance, he was told by the prophet God's will and mine, and he could not perceive it spiritually, no different than Nicodemus could. And Nicodemus was told the simplest message. Had his heart been right, he would have seen the same as Nathaniel had seen. It would have been no difference. See, it would have been no difference. Even Jehoshaphat the king, when he listened to the prophets of Baal and Jezebel's prophets prophesying victory and victory when God and Ahab wanted to hear this. They were hirelings, and they were telling him and Jezebel what they wanted to hear. And Jehoshaphat, being a godly king, he perceived something wrong, and he said, is there not a prophet of Jehovah here? Almost trying to be polite and not insulting Ahab, but he was in a polite way saying, you know, I really would rather hear a true prophet. I haven't heard one yet. And it is interesting that Ahab could say, well, there's one. But I hate him because he never tells me anything good. And see, even Jehoshaphat had the wisdom to say, you should not say this. And that's what he said. You should not say this. See, even Jehoshaphat had the knowledge to say, you should want to hear the word of the Lord, whether it's good or bad. You should want to know, if you're going into battle, whether God is for you or against you. And he was told, God is against you. And he was insistent, I'm going anyway. And I will dress up differently and have you dress as me. What a fool. And even when the prophet said, and you will not come back if I'm speaking by God. See, what does that show you? Given the clearest information, the clearest light, that any normal person would have fled and bowed down before God and said, thank you for warning me for being killed. And Ahab did not. Why? Because he had such a wicked heart that he could not perceive the simplest truth when it was shown to him. Could not perceive it. And see, it has not changed. People do not want the truth and are not ready to receive the truth. When they're given the truth, it will have no effect on them. It cannot. And it's nothing wrong with the truth. The seed is sown often. That's why sometimes we can give the gospel and we can witness. And yet while we give it, we know it's wasted. But it's only not wasted in one place. God has said, and it applies to the gospel, he said they will know one day that a prophet was in their midst. They will know at the day of judgment that they were warned, that God in his grace kept warning them, even though he knew they'd reject it, and they kept rejecting it. He still warns. You know, he still gives enough. And sometimes we're told to do this as a witness, even though they're going to reject the witness. And so again, we see again the two hearts and the entirely two responses given that have not changed in God's dealings with man. He has not changed. Now he says something that apparently doesn't even fit in, but it does. No one, he said, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I have give you spiritual things? How can I take you any further? I can't. You know, I've got to lay the foundation. You know, you've got to be able to receive the milk of the word if I can give you anything. And you can't even receive that. But notice what he says. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Again, we are getting the assumption here that Jesus knows that Nicodemus has heard the gospel preached and he's heard the disciples and John the Baptist, because that's why he came to ask him questions. He knew to a degree what he was saying, that he was the messenger of the covenant, that he was the Son of Man, that he was the Lamb of God. John the Baptist made it boldly plain, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is him. So Nicodemus has heard a lot of this, but he's not believing. He's not accepting this, you know. And what does Jesus say? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He's telling him now something. You know, you've not believed me. I've come with the simplest message, you know, and I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I've come down from the Father. You know, I am more than the prophet that Moses talked about. He's going to mention Moses in a minute. He said, I am the one who's come to give you the words of the Father. I'm going to tell you something that no man has stood in God's presence and heard. I've come from God. I am the Word of God. I have come. I am eternal life. I've come to tell you spiritual truths. And no prophet has ever come or is going to come to reveal what I'm revealing. And yet you will not believe this, nor what I'm telling you, nor who I am. Okay, we will go over so we can understand why he's telling him this. You don't believe, and yet you've got the purest message. And I am the one who is sent to give you this. I am the bread who came down from heaven. You know, you got manna in the wilderness, which was a miracle, but it came from God, and it was only a part of the law still, and it faded. But I am the living bread that comes down. You know, I'm coming to show you something different, a fuller. Okay, go to chapter 6 of John. We won't spend much time here because we'll be there in a few weeks. Chapter 6. Verse 33. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. So he's telling him something. What is he telling him here? Let's go a little further. And they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. And he said to him, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you that have seen me, excuse me, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. He's simply telling Nicodemus the same thing he told these people later. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I've come to offer you eternal life. Moses didn't come with this message, you know. I am the Lamb. I sum up and will fulfill all of God's purposes. I am the Word of God. I am the Incarnation. I am the Begotten One. And I've come as the spokesman for God. I have come in the flesh, and yet he says, but you do not believe me. And see, later on, he's telling the same thing he told Nicodemus, and you don't believe my testimony. You don't believe what I've told you. Notice it's the same response. And so he was simply telling Nicodemus the same thing. I am the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. And then 14. No, we're going to back up. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven. I want to pause for a minute. Okay, what is again? We're going to see something that Paul brings out that many people overlook. What was he saying here? I have come down, you know, as the Son of Man. I have come down as that prophet that Moses talked about. I have come down, what, as the messenger of the covenant. And most of you, he's going to tell us, and we will see, will not believe. But what was he telling Nicodemus again and these people? He said, I've given you the simplest message. And yet you cannot perceive it because you're not receptive and your heart's not right. You're going to ask, and many of them did, you're going to say, as the wicked do, show us a sign. Prove this, prove that, do this and do that. And he's going to say, but I'm not going to do this. Now Romans tells us, gives us a hint to this. Go over to Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 6. Paul explains something here. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Notice the question coming out of Moses. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? What is Paul saying? Jesus made it clear. He was telling Nicodemus, and he was telling the Jews, I came down from heaven as no man ever did. No man ever went up into heaven and got the message directly from God and clearly revealed his will. Even the prophet saw in shadows. He said, I did this. I came down as the Word of God. I came down as the only begotten one with the message, and you don't believe me. So now Paul is speaking after the resurrection. And he simply, again, was showing us God's way. Paul is telling people what? He says, you don't need to go up into heaven and bring this message down. Why? Because Christ has already done this. You don't need to bring him back down. The message has been preached. The Lamb has gave his life. He has resurrected and poured out his Spirit. You do not need to look into the depths. That is to bring Christ up from the grave. You're not going to resurrect him again. He's already been resurrected. He came as the Lamb of God. He came from heaven with God's message. He died and returned. You know. And it's, so he's saying what? Don't be asking. And it's not so complicated. It's not something hard. And actually this scripture is taken from Deuteronomy when God says the same thing. It is not complicated my way. You don't have to send someone into heaven to go find this out. You don't have to look to the depths of the sea. He's simply expressing what? The furthest places you can go. He said, no. And Paul now is going to give us a revelation here. Notice what he says. We're not to say this. But what does it say, this message that God has? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. What is he saying to them? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Notice Jesus simply gave Nicodemus the same thing. He said, if you believed who I was and received the simplest word that I gave you, faith would have been generated in you. The Holy Spirit, but you blocked it. Something in you would not allow this. Your heart was what? Wrong. You were no different than the Hebrews. Remember what Jesus said? They saw the signs and wonders. They said, do this and do this. And God did certain things. But it said, but they were disobedient and they were unbelieving. And therefore, why did they miss it? Why could they not make it? It said, it gives us a key. It says, because it was not mixed with faith. See? All of the intellectual knowledge, even the signs and wonders that God did not save these people. And they did not make it into the land. And yet they saw greater signs and wonders than we've ever thought of. And yet they could not be saved. Why? Because God again is saying, I thank thee, Lord of heaven, that you've hidden these things. That I'm coming as the wind. You're not going to see my effect because my effect is on people's hearts and spirits. And if they're ready, I can give them the simplest word. And it will generate and produce something because my spirit will give the increase. I can plant, I can water, and send the messages, but I can give the increase. And unless he gives the increase, nothing happens. And see, this was what was wrong with Nicodemus's heart. This was what's wrong with the Jews. This is what's wrong with most people who do not want and who reject even the gospel. It is simple. It's not complicated. It's simply they are not willing to come God's way and respond and be serious with God. And therefore, he will not mess with them. You'll never see that God trifles with people. And people that take God lightly, God takes lightly. He doesn't take them seriously. See, he's very careful about his honor, his name, and who he is. And he does not waste himself. He does not cast pearls, and he tells us not to. But everyone has a certain amount of light. So again, Paul is saying that God is going to save people by the foolishness of the message preached. See, the wise, like Nicodemus, is going to say, how can this be? And I don't understand this, and blah, blah, blah. And they're not going to see. And that's why Paul could also say, and look at your calling, brethren. Not many wise are called. See, because they can't come God's way. They don't want to come God's way. They want to dispute. They want to debate. They want carnal information. They're not going to get it. Through by the wisdom of this world, what did Paul say? They will not know God. God will hide himself from them because he said, no, if you come, it's going to be my way and it's going to be my spirit that draws you. For no man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draws them. If I don't initiate the work, you will not be saved. And when I initiate the work, you better respond. And see, even Nicodemus, Jesus gave him the simplest word, as he did Nathanael. And it was nothing wrong with the word he gave. Nathanael's heart had no guile. We're not told Nicodemus's heart, but we're told one thing. He did not believe the testimony previously, and he still didn't believe who Jesus was. And therefore, he was not enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So again, you will see this great principle always working in Scripture. Okay, let's go back. As Moses, again, he's continuing the thought, no one went up to heaven, but I came down from heaven. I was what? In the bosom of the Father. I was face to face with him. I was the Word of God. Therefore, I am the only begotten. There is none like me. I am more than a prophet. You know, I am the Messiah. I am the covenant-keeping one. I am Jehovah in the flesh, is basically what he's saying. No one has been that close to God has ever come down. No human has gone up into heaven and demanded a response from God and got it. It's never happened. See? We even see the lesson again, and I'll go back to it because, again, you'll always see the principle. Even with Job, remember, and all of his questioning, Remember, God finally got tired of some of what he said, and he asked him 30-some questions about nature, and Job could not answer one of them. And he was simply implying the same thing. If you can't answer the simplest of the natural realm, then how can you understand spiritual things, and how dare you call me into judgment and that I will take counsel of you? Your job is to trust and obey me. He said the same message all through the Bible. And Job was the most righteous man on earth. Isn't it interesting? And yet God got angry and reproved him because he challenged God's method and his way. And you come and give account to me of what you're doing. See, isn't that what the world's saying? The world's saying, well, if you do this, I'll believe. And if God, how often have you heard this? You know, and if God does this and does this, then I'll believe. But see, you won't stay believing. And because you see, there's no regeneration. You will keep being a doubter and an unbeliever because you have no regenerated heart. And because God is not working in you, it will waste nothing. Did you know everybody in heaven's a believer? And everybody in hell's a believer. The people in heaven, they believe by communion and relationship with God. The people in hell have mental assent, and they know Jesus is the Lord of glory as their tormentor forever. And every devil and demon knows who Jesus is. They said from the beginning, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel, which they understood to be Jehovah. So they believed mentally. Nicodemus could have even, some of the priests even believed mentally that Jesus was the Messiah, but they would not commit themselves to him, so it was just as lost as Nicodemus. They just had more information and greater light that they could answer for. Many people, 2 billion people believe Jesus is the Son of God, and most of them are on their way to hell. See, because it hasn't changed them, and God is not doing anything, because they have not conformed to his word. Let's take a break.